Things I like about Yeshua from the book of John. Part one. Many interesting people have lived during the past 6,000 years. My brother-in-law David loves biographies. Learning about some of those interesting people and the interesting things they have said and done, the interesting times in which they lived. I asked David for his three favorite biographies. And he responded, wow, I have many. But if I had to pick three, I would say Jonathan Edwards, A Life by Marsden, Rebbe, The Life and Teachings of Menachem Mendel Schneerson by Telushkin, and The Rise of Theodore Roosevelt by Morris. Now, I'm sure Jonathan Edwards, Theodore Roosevelt, and Menachem Schneerson were interesting people, and important things can be learned about them and the times they lived in from these biographies. However, of all the people who have ever lived, and of all the biographies ever written, and there are thousands and thousands, I am by far most interested in one person. That is Yeshua. There are four divinely inspired biographies written about him. Here are some of the things I like about Yeshua that come from the biography written by his friend and disciple, John. Communication is good. There are many ways to communicate. Some of those ways are more effective than other ways. Some ways to communicate: spoken words, written words, sign language, body language, facial expressions, eye contact, gestures, pointing, drawing. I'm sure there's other ways to communicate as well. I like that Yeshua is the Word. He is the greatest way in which God communicates to us. He is the best way in which God reveals himself to us. I want to know God. I want to be able to have God communicate with me. Yeshua is the one who makes that happen to the highest degree possible. He is the Word. That makes Yeshua very special. I'm impressed by things that are old. Just being old makes them special. I felt a real sense of awe when our family was in California one summer on vacation and saw the giant redwood tree known as General Sherman. It's 2,700 years old. It's still alive. It's huge. That means that it was alive in the time of the prophet Isaiah. But it's not the oldest tree. The oldest tree may be a bristlecone pine in the White Mountains of California. It's close to 5,000 years old, which means that it started growing shortly after the waters of the great flood receded. That tree is very, very old. Yeshua is far older. In the beginning was the Word. I like that Yeshua was in the beginning and before the beginning. In fact, he has no beginning. How cool to know someone who is the oldest, who is ancient of days, who was in the beginning, who was before the beginning, who has no beginning. I like the relationship that Yeshua has to his Father. It's very special. In the beginning, the Word, Yeshua, was with God, meaning the Father. In fact, before the beginning, Yeshua was with God. There was never a time when the Son was not with the Father. He is the eternally begotten Son of God. Begotten, not made, not created, always in relationship as Son to the Father. That makes Yeshua very special. I like that Yeshua was with God and that he was God. He was not the Father, but he was God. That means that Yeshua always shared the same divine nature as the Father. That means Yeshua is eternal, uncreated, having all the attributes of divinity. This, of course, makes Yeshua very special. An easy way to understand the relationship of the Father and the Son: there is a distinction of persons. The Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Father. There's a distinction of separate persons. There's an equality of nature. They share the same nature of divinity, of deity, of God. And there is a hierarchy of authority, the Father being greater in authority than the Son. A distinction of persons, an equality of nature, a hierarchy of authority. If you understand those three things, you will have a good grasp on the Trinity. I'm impressed by people who are able to make beautiful or complex things. There are some people here at Shema who have that ability to make beautiful, complex things. I like that all things were made through Yeshua. That's a lot of things. The universe is incredibly big and complex and beautiful and elegant, and everything in it works together in an amazing way. And Yeshua made it all. That's very impressive. That makes Yeshua very special. I like that Yeshua is the source of life and is able to give life and restore life that was forfeited by sin. In him was life. Life is an amazing gift. How wonderful to know the one who is the source of life, the giver of life, and when life is lost and forfeited by sin, the redeemer of life, and to receive life from him. We live in a spiritually dark world, full of confusion, unhappiness, defeat, death. I like that Yeshua is the antidote to the darkness. He is the light of all mankind. That means he's full of truth, wisdom, revelation, victory, salvation, happiness, life. He is the light that shines in the darkness and is stronger than the darkness, and the darkness will never be able to overcome him. I want my life to be full of truth, revelation, victory, and happiness. Yeshua alone makes that possible. That makes Yeshua very special indeed. I like that Yeshua became flesh and made his dwelling among us. I want God to be sympathetic to me and my situation, to my weaknesses, to my frailties, my struggles, my humanity. I don't want God to be far, distant, aloof. I want to be very close to God, and I want God to be very close to me. I want God to be like a good neighbor I can go to. Yeshua's incarnation makes that all possible. Yeshua became flesh and made his dwelling among us. I like that. I enjoy ironies. I like that Yeshua was in the world, and the world was made through him, but the world did not recognize the one that made the world. That has to be the greatest of all ironies. And I also like that to the minority who did recognize them, he gave the right to become children of God. I really want to be a child of God. Yeshua is the one who can give me that right. Yeshua is very special. I like grace. I want grace. I need a lot of grace in my life, a lot of undeserved, unmerited, unearned help. I like that Yeshua is full of grace, and that out of his fullness we are able to receive grace after grace after grace. One grace in place of another grace already given. When one grace runs out, another grace is right there to take its place. We live in a world of lies, errors, deception, a world in which truth and error are mixed together in a deadly combination. If the truth sets us free, and it does, I want to be set free. If the truth saves, and it does, I want to know the truth, pure truth, unmixed with any error. I like that Yeshua is not only full of grace, he is full of truth. Many people over the centuries have had a relationship with God and have revealed things about God. I'm thinking of especially the prophets of Israel. Yeshua's relationship to the Father is the closest relationship that anyone has ever had. He has revealed God the way God needs to be known. I like that no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, he has made the Father known. I like that by knowing Yeshua, I can know God the way I need to know God. I can be close to God the way I want to be close to God. That makes Yeshua very, very special. The world is under the power of sin. The world is dead in trespasses and sin. The world's greatest need is to have its sin taken away. And there is a way, but only one way, for that to happen, and that is through Yeshua. I like that he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That by being the Son of God and the Son of Man, and by living a perfect life and by dying on the cross and coming back to life, Yeshua made it possible for our sin to be taken away and replaced by everlasting righteousness. For people to have successful ministries, they need the Spirit of God. Before Yeshua arrived, the Holy Spirit would come upon people, giving them wisdom and power to fulfill their God-appointed tasks. But if they sinned, like King Saul did, the Spirit would leave them, which is why David prayed, "Don't take your Holy Spirit from me." I like that at the very beginning of Yeshua's ministry, at his baptism, the Spirit came down from heaven as a dove and remained on Yeshua. And from that point on, he never left Yeshua. He always filled Yeshua with the wisdom and power he needed to do everything God wanted him to do. We too need the Holy Spirit. Not just a little of the Spirit of God, but to be filled with the Spirit, to be surrounded and engulfed and immersed by the Spirit. I like that John the Baptist testified that Yeshua is able to immerse us, baptize us with the Holy Spirit. I believe John's testimony about Yeshua. Yeshua is so special that he has many names and titles. I like those names and titles. They tell me about who Yeshua is. I like that when Nathanael first encountered him, he declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Rabbi. We come into this world ignorant and foolish. We need to be taught. We need to be instructed. We need teachers. Yeshua is the greatest of all teachers, by far. He is supremely able to teach us the most important things, teach us about God, the Word of God, the salvation of God. I like that Yeshua is a rabbi and that he is my rabbi. He's the Son of God. That does not mean that God birthed Yeshua in some way, or that the Son of God is younger than the Father. It means exactly the opposite. Just as a human son shares the same nature as his father, so Yeshua shares the same nature as his father. The Son of God, like God the Father, is divine, eternal, uncreated. He shares all the attributes of God. I like that I can be in a relationship with Yeshua, the Son of God, who is in a relationship with God the Father. King of Israel. Yeshua is a direct descendant of King David, but he is greater than David, greater than any of the other kings that came from David. And when King Yeshua returns, he will sit on David's throne and rule Israel and all the other nations on earth. I like our Constitution. I like our representative form of government, but it has flaws. It is imperfect. I like that King Yeshua will have the perfect government and be the perfect leader. You are the King of Israel. I like that Yeshua changed Simon's name to Cephas, Peter, the Rock. When Simon first encountered Yeshua, Simon was not a rock. But by the time Yeshua was finished with him, teaching him, correcting him, forgiving him, Simon was a rock, strong, reliable, able to be a pillar that supported Messiah's community. That's what Yeshua can do with people. That's what he wants to do with you. That's what he wants to do with me. When we are close to Yeshua and follow Yeshua, he is able to transform us into what we should be. I like that Yeshua found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." And Philip did. This is what it means to believe in Yeshua. This is what it means to be a real Christian, a Messianic Jew. It's not just a belief. It's not just a way of thinking. It is a radical commitment to follow Yeshua, to know him and to be with him and stay close to him and allow him to lead us, even if he leads us into some difficult situations, which he probably will. I like that Yeshua said to Nathanael, "You will see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Yeshua is the fulfillment of the vision of Jacob's ladder. He is the ladder between heaven and earth. He is able to end the estrangement between God and sinful humanity. He is able to reconcile heaven and earth so that God and the good angels will be able to have full access to a new and redeemed humanity and vice versa. I like that. I like that Yeshua did not just a few miracles, but he did many miracles. Over the many centuries of human existence, God has allowed very few people to do miracles. Yeshua's miracles exceed them all. This lets us know that Yeshua was sent by God, approved of by God, close to God. I like that Yeshua's first miracle took place at a wedding, and to help the families, he turned water into wine. A lot of really superb wine. For those of us who enjoy wine, this makes Yeshua's first miracle very special. I like that Yeshua went up to Jerusalem for Passover, and when at the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. He made a whip out of cords and drove them from the temple courts. And he scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." The temple was under the authority of the priests. It took tremendous courage to ignore their authority, to bypass their authority, and cleanse the temple. This teaches us that Yeshua was a very courageous man, and that he had great zeal for God and the things that were important to God. And we should be courageous and zealous like Yeshua was. While he did a miracle to help the families and guests at that wedding in Cana, he did not do a miracle when it was demanded of him, especially by those who opposed him. I like that when the leaders asked Yeshua for a sign to prove his authority to cleanse the temple, he answered, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days," referring to his death and the resurrection of his body. This reveals that Yeshua was aware that God was living in him in a greater way than God was living in the temple, and that he was aware that the leaders would reject him and kill him, and he was aware that he would come back to life on the third day. Yeshua's understanding of himself and his mission and his life and his death and resurrection was amazing. I like that when many people saw the signs, the miracles Yeshua was performing and believed in him, he would not entrust himself to them because he knew all people. He knew what was in each person. Yeshua knew human nature. He knew that belief, commitment, loyalty can be temporary. The enthusiasm that comes from a shallow faith can evaporate. Today's believer can be tomorrow's betrayer. And so he did not entrust himself to these people, even though they had some faith in him. That raises some important questions for us. What kind of faith do we have? A shallow kind of faith? A temporary kind of faith? Or a real faith, enduring faith, that enables Yeshua to entrust his interests to us? I like that Yeshua said to Nicodemus, who was a member of the Sanhedrin, Israel's ruling council, that no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. That flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. If Nicodemus, one of the great teachers and leaders of the chosen people, needed to be born again, needed to receive a new nature in order to see the kingdom of God, you can be sure that everyone else does too. Jews, Gentiles, you, your mommy, your daddy, your grandparents, all your friends, all your family, all your coworkers. Since this is true, won't you tell them that being born again is not enough, like Yeshua said? I'm sorry, being born once is not enough. That they need to be born again. How can you not tell them that? For some adventure, some journeys, it's good to have a guide, an expert who knows the dangers that may be encountered along the way, who knows the way to the destination. I want to go to heaven, not hell. I want an expert guide to help me to get to heaven. I prefer someone who has already been to heaven and who knows the way to heaven to be my guide, to get me to heaven. I like that Yeshua said, no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, speaking about himself. This makes Yeshua very special. Jesus, be my guide. Hold me to your side, and I will love you to the end. I believe it's possible to live forever. I want to live forever. I like that Yeshua told us how we can live forever. Not through freezing our bodies or our heads like some people are doing, with the hope that at some time in the future, science will advance enough to restore them to life, unfreeze them in a healthy way, and that science will be advanced enough at that point to heal all diseases and rejuvenate our bodies, or maybe transfer our consciousness to another brain. That's not my way of wanting to live forever. Yeshua's way to have eternal life is much different and much better. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. When the generation that left Egypt accused God and Moses of bringing them into the wilderness to kill them, and complained that there was not enough food and water, and they were sick of the miserable manna that miraculously appeared each day, God punished them for their ungrateful, rebellious attitude. He sent poisonous snakes among them which bit many of the people. When many died and they were sufficiently disciplined, the Lord offered a cure. If they made a bronze snake and put it on a pole, anyone who was bitten and looked at the snake would be healed. Yeshua is teaching us how salvation works, that the cure must be related to the disease. Snakes bit the people, so the people were required to look at a snake. The reality is that humanity has been bitten by the satanic snake, and spiritual poison is in us, flowing in our veins, and we will most certainly die. But we can be saved by looking at Yeshua, by knowing he is the Messiah, the Son of God, that he died on that cross and came back to life. The Bible is the best-known book in the world. John 3:16 is probably the best-known verse in the best-known book in the world. I like that Yeshua is the one who said, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Yeshua is teaching us that the whole world is perishing. If an individual does nothing, he will perish. He will die. God the Father loves us and wants to prevent us from perishing. He wants us to live with him forever. And so he gave his son to die in our place. The only way to not perish but have eternal life is to become loyal to Yeshua. Do you believe this? Do you believe John 3:16? If you do, won't you tell others this? Not just occasionally, but all the time, each and every day? How can you not? Almost done. I like that Yeshua defied the social norms of his day and spoke to a Samaritan woman by a well. That's something that other rabbis would not do. This is the opposite of racism. This is the opposite of sexism. This is love for all people, no matter their race or gender. I like that Yeshua is a master evangelist and interested this woman who came to draw water from the well in himself and his mission and his message by offering her living water that would produce eternal life. This is evangelism on the way. This is taking the evangelistic initiative. This is evangelism using things that people are interested in to point them to Yeshua. This is what we need to be doing every day.